What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
It's so clean, dude. You know how hard it is to follow that one up every week? It's mad or has. What's going on, everyone? Dude, the episode after Supernova, that's where we're at today. Pretty easy. I think this is the first event all four of us have been at.
Since Summit?
Since the last Supernova? Time. No. Oh, Charles wasn't there. Dang. That's what I showed my wife that picture because the four of us took a picture together. And she goes, when's the last time you guys could have even taken a picture together like this?
That'd be Summit, I'm pretty sure.
That's why I was looking forward to this episode because we all were at the event.
Dude.
We all had very different experiences.
Yeah, exactly.
I was trying to explain to her how I had to make miracles happen and make that picture happen. Y'all are busy. Oh. And me. I thought, like, I'm not.
What was the miracle?
Gavin, trying to get through the venue with you? Jesus.
Oh.
Actually, you got stopped every two steps. It was like someone programmed an RPG wrong, and every step we took was a random encounter that lasted 10 minutes. Holy fuck. And then
Gavin's
see
a carry and a MOBA getting chain CC'd. Like, literally, just everyone's targeting.
Good lord. Anyway, how you doing, Marcus?
That drink came out of nowhere. What the heck? Good, good. Supernova is the first event tournament I went to since Xanadu closed, so it was a little strange. Very unfamiliar, familiar feeling, especially because I go every year, and I competed most years, but I started just spectating, I think, like 2 years ago or something like that, maybe last year. So that was, like, familiar, but, like, because I haven't been to a tournament in so long, it was, like, a little strange. I, like, had this urge to play the whole time I was there, because I also haven't played the game since Xanadu closed. Like, I haven't touched it at all. It was, like, my way of telling myself, like, this is the end. So, it was interesting. Also, I worked Coney's merch booth, so I was there for 11 hours. It was great. He has some good merch, though. I'm not going to shout out his merch website on our podcast, but go check out Coney's merch.
Did he shout out our merch?
No.
Well.
Hey. But yeah, it was a good weekend. Watching Supernova was cool. It usually is a good watch. I think, I don't know about y'all, but I think, crowd energy is probably the highest at. I was going to say the Supernova has the best crowd, but yeah. So crowd energy is probably the highest of any event. I think it's either that or Genesis. So whenever you're like in the building watching, it's always a really good time. So yeah, it was cool. All right, Chuck, how was your weekend?
I had a fun weekend, man. Supernova is always a very unique event because there's all the different games. So just getting to watch, I mean, I'm not able to watch every single game live because I'm also casting blocks as well, but definitely catching up on VODs on some of the other games as well. So yeah, I mean, for me, Vex played in Brawl and I was a DDD main in Brawl. So when Gavin talks about Gluto and that's like his favorite player, to me, that's like Vex and Atomus. Those are like my favorite players because I grew up in the era where I was a Brawl DDD main. So it was really, really sick to see Vex play Brawl. He beat one Meta Knight in top 8, which is really, really hard to do. So that was dope. And yeah, and player one is so clean. Like, I just watched player one. I'm like, dang, you have to still be living this game to be able to execute all this stuff. So it's really sick to see someone still dedicated to the game like that. And especially with someone like player one being dedicated to a character like Diddy Kong, where it's just like super high end technical character with like two bananas. Like the stuff you see Diddy do in that game is insane. So very fun to watch. And then obviously all the other games, you know, Melee, Smash 4. I know a lot of the Smash 4 players said that they enjoyed Bayonetta being banned, so it's pretty cool. I think also Brawl's rule set was interesting. They like nerfed Meta Knight within the rule set because the community was split 50-50 on banning Meta Knight and not banning Meta Knight. It was like 49% to 51%, which is crazy, by the way. That's like so down the middle. But Meta Knight could never counterpick stages. Meta Knight had less ledge grabs, like 20 ledge grabs to like instead of 35 or something like that. So it was very interesting to see the communities of the older games kind of tweak the game in their own way. And I think it's cool that Smash can even do that with rule sets and stuff like that. So Yeah, maybe we can do that with Steve, please. But what about you, Haz?
Yeah, I definitely feel some sort of way about the Brawl and Smash 4 rule sets getting changed. I like that they're kind of mixing it up, but I feel like SmashCon's supposed to be like a celebration of every Smash game, which is like playing it in its most original, purest form, maybe. But I'm also not super in touch with those communities. Like, as far as I know, Smash 4 is basically just Ultimate players who go back and play it at Supernova. I don't really think there's other Smash 4 tournaments, but Brawl has its own like little scene. Like, oh, like these guys, like you said, Player One, you don't be hitting those footstool, you know, Diddy Kong down throw bananas. Like, man, that clip that Aaron got from Player One, good lord, like that was amazing. But like the Meta Knights, I don't know, man. Like, I leave it to those communities to figure it out and whatever. But
right, kind of what they want, right?
Totally, yeah. But we did. Charles and I actually, our room was across from Fallen. If y'all remember him from Smash 4, great Rosa player, actually a great Kirby player in Brawl. And he did say, similar to what Charles said, that he loved that Smash 4 had Baoband. And I mean, the top 8 was great. It looked like most of the competitors really enjoyed it. To be fair, I think the only people who wouldn't enjoy that are people that main or play as Bayonetta. So it's, you know, kind of knock out a smaller player base to make everyone else have a more enjoyable time, which it's kind of hard to argue against that. But either way, man, I'm good. I drove to Supernova this year, which was good in a couple ways and bad in a couple other ways. But I drove to Gavin's to meet up with Charles because he does not come to the East Coast very often. And the chances of us all seeing each other per year get smaller every year. We see each other on the podcast every week virtually, but being in person is just different. Had a blast with you guys. And Charles and I drove to Supernova and this pothole came out of nowhere and popped my tire. It really did though, Charles. It really did. True, right? I've never hit a pothole in my life. Truly. I've never have.
That was an insane pothole.
Like, on the highway too. It's not like it was on some little high like side street.
Vehicles are going fast, and like the size of that pothole, I was like, wow, how is this thing out here?
It was
here?
Ridiculous,
like,
yeah. So it wrecked me, and I had to figure that out. But I got it straightened out. I had to pay for it, which sucked, obviously. But, you know, all worked out in the end. And then the drive back was like 7 hours, so I just did that straight shoot after casting top 8. And I went to work the next morning. So it was a very busy, exhausting weekend, but I'm on the other side of it. I'm on the mend. I think my like voice is still messed up a little bit. It was bad on Monday. It was bad. I could like barely talk. Yeah, I'm doing good. Big Gav, how you doing? You made an appearance at a tournament.
Yeah, we went on Saturday. We had Charles over. We had you over.
Which was very fun.
It was a great time. And we just went for Saturday. And everyone keeps asking, like, oh, like, was it weird to not compete? And yeah, honestly, it was super weird not competing at Supernova. And it's also really difficult to do everything you want to do it with one day to work with. I just, there's a few people I didn't even get to see. Like, there's just so many people I wanted to say hi to and all that. So just having one day to work with was weird. I'm so used to having like half a week to work with. So yeah.
Yeah.
But I had a good time. I didn't know what to expect because I wasn't competing, but everyone was really happy to see me, and I took a lot of pictures, signed a lot of things. We sat down, watched some of the matches. My favorite was probably Chag versus Wrath.
Pro.
It was insane, just a wild set, that pop off.
It's a wild ending. So
there's some good pop offs this weekend on the there's some good pop offs.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I had a good time. How are you doing, Charles?
Huh?
Yeah.
Still good. Not locked in. Pro is not locked.
Me?
Close out of Yu-Gi-Oh, Ma. Yeah. Come on, we got a podcast today.
Dude, I'm getting stalled right now.
What?
Getting stalled right now.
Getting camp.
I hate Gavin with the dashback.
Let's just keep going in circles. Just keep asking.
Yeah, I didn't even, dude, I didn't even get to sit. Like, I think that was like my biggest, like, annoyance of the weekend is like I didn't get to see Paris. I was like, dude, like that sucks. Like,
yeah. I played a lot of poker with Paris.
Oh,
yeah. Dude, bro took my money.
Who was winning? Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Phil did well the first night.
Paris. Yeah, it was kind of like me and Phil did well the first night, and then Paris kind of like broke even on the first night, I think, or maybe lost a little bit, but then Paris did really well on nights 2 and 3. I think overall I went down like $10, so I was kind of more close to breaking even, but just lost a little bit. I think Phil overall went positive. I'm pretty sure Paris went the most positive of all the people we played with. But yeah, it was fun. I had a good time.
It was, except you guys refused to use my really cool Avengers cards. You said they're too
hard. Dude, has this deck of cards that was so hard to read.
It wasn't hard to read at all.
He really wanted us to use his Marvel Avengers.
I kept sneaking them back in the rotation. Everyone get mad. They were fine. Anyway, all right, let's talk Supernova. Let's get into it.
I guess time.
It's kind of crazy because we could
crazy tournament.
You know, obviously, you know, typically when we talk about a tournament, usually, especially one that the four of us are at, it's usually about Gavin's results and all that. But you know, not this time. So Charles, you casted a lot of Supernova. Tell us about it. What? Tell us about your tournament experience, Charles. Let's get into it.
Gavin really was right passing it back to Chuck. True.
Oh, true.
Well, we knew how he was doing.
I feel like I actually got really lucky with some of my sets. I did not get the Sparkle Peanut upset. I mean, I'm very jealous of that one as well. There was just so much crazy sets, but I got Wrath Chag, and I commentated that with Lyric. And then, I mean, just the first half of top eight was insane with Haz. Like, that was, it's like me and Haz, there's a Ken. They're like, no light, so it's not completely perfect. But you know what? Haz finally getting Ken in top eight. I don't even think of a tournament that caliber. I don't think Ken has ever gone that far. I'm trying to think.
I'm not sure.
Ryu with Osimo. Yeah. So it's like we've had, you know, Street Fighter characters get that far before, but a Ken specifically. And I mean, all the sets in first half of top eight were just really, really good, I feel like. And I mean, even top four was still really good, but God has. I'm trying to think of the best set of first half of top eight for me. God, it's so hard because the Peanut set with Mia was so good. I really like that set. I mean, for the game five, Last Stock could have been closer. That's like the only thing, but it's still game five, Last Stock, right? Mia just like really cleaned it up on the Last Stock. But still, I mean, that matchup looked so hard. And I wish we got more peep sets within the first half of top eight, but I think the two sets that we did get, you got to see Mega Man are being played in very different ways. And I think that's a very fun thing about Mega Man. It feels like a character that's very flexible. You have a toolbox kit, right? And you kind of morph all of your different tools depending on the matchup, which is so cool to see. Even to the point where I don't even know if a character interacts with Game & Watch Bucket, where it's like, okay, I have energy moves and which are my physical moves that get reflected to. And you're playing around it like that. And to the point where Game & Watch has to throw the bucket immediately after getting it filled because you need access to reflect the physical stuff, right? There's so much technicalities when you bring in Mega Man, especially to something like a Game & Watch Bucket. So even watching that set was really close. I think me even said his toughest opponent was Peanut in top eight.
He did say that. So, and Phil interviewed him after, yeah.
That's so sick to hear from Mia. Obviously, Mia, very serious competitor. I mean, the winner, amazing stuff to Mia. But yeah, I'm trying to think of any other set. Oh, Doromigi Hurt, game five, Last Stock, last hit. That was crazy, too.
That was fun.
God, it's between those two sets for me in terms of like the best set in the first half of top eight.
It was great because we studied so much for the top eight, and we even called Gavin.
We did a lot of prep. I was proud of us. I think we did a really good job.
Yeah, we called Gav, and I was like, oh, if you're streaming, it's good stream content because we can talk about, like, you know, the matches and prepare for them, and, like, that's something you can do. Bro was, like, ready to take a nap. He was not streaming. But it was still good because he gave us, like, a lot of really good insight. It's kind of funny, though, because the thing we talked about the most was Snake versus Min Min. And I was like, low-key, he went Sonic the last time they played last game. And it was really close. It was last hit. So maybe he'll go Sonic this time. And we're like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that. So we talked a lot about Snake versus Min Min, which is cool. But then he ended up going Sonic, which was also cool because I actually tweeted, like, do any Sonic mains know a lot about fighting Min Min? And actually, Wrath hit me up, which was awesome. Like, what a great guy to talk to about the game. Knows the stuff super well. You laughing? Oh, dude. Okay.
Nobody's allowed to tech. Nobody.
Yeah, no stage. It's zero stage, that, right? Funny. It was zero stage techs on the last game, right? Or something like that?
It was incredibly sloppy. It was that soda he was chugging, bro. That shit was killing.
Charlie was going crazy.
I remember watching that during top eight and being like, wow, this is really funny. He is like, it's not just like, oh, like, I'll take a sip of a soda or something. He was fucking devouring that shit. Like, it was gone. Like, it was acting like it was the last thing on the planet that he had to drink. Like, he was in the desert and he needed something, bro. But he was... it was crazy. And then I went back to watch it. I was like, it couldn't have been that. Like, I was just caught up in the moment. I went back to watch it. I was like, holy shit. He was really drinking that shit. It was so funny. I don't know what he was doing. He did it again, too, the next time they played, which is so – he's such a fun personality to have. And obviously, I love watching Snake play. And, you know, I'm not the biggest Sonic fan in the world, but the thing about Min Min that is fortunate is – just like any other volatile zoner type character, is it's going to be a fucking fast match, usually, like one way or the other. Which we said, it's like, wow, damn, you got Min Min, who plays this really slow style, and Sonic, who obviously is slow style, but it kind of cancels out ultimately in that match because Min Min's so afraid of Sonic, and then Sonic can't really run away and spin dash too much, right? There's just not a lot you can do against Ram Ram in that distance and all that stuff. So, and edge guarding is crazy on both sides. Like, they both just die. So it kind of can't, like, I think there, if you dipped out early, just assuming, like, looking at the characters and not knowing a lot about the matchup, you're like, damn, this is going to be a snoozer hour-long set. Nope, it's very fast, which was very cool. And the sloppy gameplay made it even more fun. Like, that was definitely, like a memorable set for a lot of different reasons. And something that a lot of people are calling out that I also have the thought of is it's very, very rare. I can't even remember the last time we saw a secondary Sonic do anything.
True.
Anything, because he's such a good secondary. Is he not? Like, what an incredible, if you can do it, like, if you're just like, oh, I want to be godlike with one character, like, to add to my roster, he's a really good one to have in there, but no one does it. I think the combination of how you have to play with him, and that he's not, I don't want to say like he's super, like, not like technical or hard, like super hard or anything, but you got to commit. It's not like pick up Lucina or some shit where it's like, yeah, this just makes sense. Like, you definitely got to put a lot of time in to make the character work. So I was really impressed by that. And I've seen other people try. Actually, funny enough, I've seen Jazzo try Sonic before for a couple different matchups. Yeah. And like a decent success, but not a Dormigi W. So, that was obviously.
Dude, so crazy. Okay. I want to bridge this into a topic that I think is pretty interesting in this current era of Smash. So when I'm watching this set, it actually takes me back, and I feel like I'm watching a year one Ultimate set. I'm going to tell you why. It's because someone's bringing out this pocket pick that they're clearly not very practiced at, right? And it's just because this other character's strength or something is so volatile. It's usually against like these ultra volatile characters, right? And I think we can all agree Min Min is ultra volatile in terms of just the offense is probably the craziest, one of the craziest, maybe if not the craziest character on hit is Min Min, because the advantage state to follow is so messed up. I always think of it as like Game & Watch advantage state, but you just have to do less reps because your moves obliterate your opponent and put them in really bad game states, usually off stage with no double jump. If you've played any kind of Smash game, if you're off stage with no double jump, that's kind of like the worst position you can be in Smash in general, is offstage with no double jump. And Min Min loves to do that to everybody. So it just feels like the stocks fly a bit faster than something like Game & Watch. I think we can still see Game & Watch find success because the consistency of it doesn't matter how long it is. It's just super consistent. But I just feel like we're going to enter this era where these weird pocket picks come out. And Hurt bringing out Sonic might be the first wave of it, but this game might be getting so volatile that just everyone's going to have pocket Min Min, because pocket Min Min is something we've seen that is, I don't know how successful it is, but we've seen it within the upper echelon of play. Debus, and Chag has a pocket Min Min.
Debus.
Rara has one.
Even like the way Hurt uses Sonic is interesting, because Hurt has the zoning character, but now Hurt's going to use Sonic as, oh, I need someone quick to just close the gap and like pressure a character that maybe outranges Snake. Because if Snake can get pressured from afar and like to the point where Min Min, you can have Sonic and just cover that bad matchup. So I think it's interesting that we're seeing Sonic cover bad matchups because the character's that strong, and maybe we're going to see more pocket picks that you can kind of just play in a simple way and beat out some of these volatile characters, even if it's on a character specialist. Like the disadvantage is so bad that Hurt just running off with forward air and using up B was enough to edge guard. And this is like with Hurt missing techs, not playing well. One thing I want to point out, like the spin moves, not being able to use too many of them. Hurt was still pretty creative. Like in advantage state, Hurt would start a spin move to catch like an air dodge or like a whiff swing. So I think Hurt Sonic was still good, but it's just, you can just generally tell it's not as practiced as someone like Wrath or someone like Sonic's. Like the combos are cleaner. I saw certain follow-ups not optimized. I'm not gonna like call them out during the match because I'm not going, like, I'm just not going to do that as a commentator. But there was some sour nares that you could have linked into forward smash if you were hurt during the set and stuff like that. So it's not like optimal offense that we're used to seeing. When someone like Sonics gets this much openings, like, it's over. Like, I don't even – Sonics versus Dorimigi, oh, my God.
I was sitting there thinking that when I was watching it. Like, I feel so bad
for Dorimigi.
Especially if Sonics preps like he normally does. Like, remember when he played Hurt and he was, like, giga prepped for Hurt? Yeah. I feel like if Sonics, like, giga prepped for Dorimigi, the set would not be close.
He's like our Batman. Sonics with prep time. He can buy somebody. True.
Well, it's also just like how you have to play Sonic in this matchup. I think when it comes to Sonic aggressing onto the opponent, Sonic's is the best Sonic by far when it comes to that. So, and it honestly, like, he's taken that offense and it's brought him, or, you know, brought him to the spot where he is the number one Sonic, but he started back in Smash 4, didn't start off like that, right? So, you know, always gotta shout out Sonic's for the grind too. Like, even if you're playing Sonic the Hedgehog and his broken character, like, Sonic still put in the grind and really changed and really showed the world what the offense for that character can do. The advantage to his.
Dorimigi has to be regretting that Sumabato set. He needed to, because it was Hurt, went Snake, game one and two. Then he tried Sonic when he was down 0-3 and it went last stock, last hit. Dorimigi needed to take care of business. He needed to eliminate that Hedgehog that day. He needed to three stock and win and be like, this is a terrible idea. It's not worth investing here. And I'm sure after that happened, I know, obviously, happy you win the tournament, but it's like, shit, I might have just, like, this might be a thing.
Open Pandora's box.
That was, like, the weirdest thing, though, because I'm pretty sure that was the first time. I think that was the first time that he beat Hurt. Like, he had, like, a super negative record with him, and he was on Snake the whole time. And it was, like, after his break when he came back, and then he lost those games, and then he tried Sonic, and I was like, wait. So it was weird, like, to see him try Sonic this time, even though it worked, right? But I was like, well, he's been playing pretty well this event, and he's looking like back to form, so maybe he'll try Snake. Mm-hmm. And bro just locked in Sonic game one, and I was like, honestly, now that you're at this point where you're like, there's a matchup where I'm not even going to attempt Snake, you might as well just put more time. And I told Haz, I was like, bro, just play Sonic more.
I love it when people just play use Sonic their more. Plan Bs first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I think against Min, it's super strong too, because those super volatile characters, I just think players, because even I think Spargo struggles. If you have a character lineup that just struggles versus Min, how do you beat Dorimigi? Like, the matchups that Min win, it's by, like, a lot. So I think Min specifically is a character worth counterpicking.
Like, so many people will use their plan B when they're down 2-0, and it's like, no, you use your main in those spots because you're more comfortable. Like, you have more tournament experience. If you only use your plan B when it's life or death, you're not going to play creative. You're going to play, like, you're not giving yourself enough room to work with. But if you have a secondary you want to try, do that shit immediately.
Yeah.
If you're considering it, like, if you're not considering it, then whatever. But if you're considering it, you should try it game one rather than game five. And I will always believe in that.
I think
Get more to work with. You get more games to work with. You'll accelerate your secondary's growth. And as for Spargo versus Dorimigi, I think Spargo very easily could have won that set.
Agree.
A lot of his punishes were just too weak.
He got tilted too, which is really, really tough against Min.
His punishes were just too weak. There's like two or three especially noticeable ones where I was like, uh-oh.
It's tough because I was saying, a lot of people were talking to me about, like, they're like, bro, Swargo's going to play. First, they were like, who in the tournament left can beat Dorimigi? This was like when Top 8 was announced, and I was like, well, Mia can. Mia can. Yeah, like,
that is the only
can't lose.
Hurt can. And I said, Spargo, if Spargo had two sets, could. Because usually what happens with Spargo Dorimigi is they'll play, and Spargo will, like, lose. And then they'll play again in the same tournament and Spargo will win because he just, I guess, like, he either talks to somebody or he, like, watches the VOD back or something, but he practices versus Min, but his punishes get a lot better and he keeps Min in disadvantage way longer. But it's hard when you're, like, you don't play her. Like, she's not popular at all. And then she's definitely not popular at this level. Like, there's one, right? Like, think about the entire Lumi rank, it's the number one player in who? There's not another one on there, right? I'm pretty sure
there's not. I actually don't. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think there's another Min Min.
So,
on
like,
there.
You're
Min Min main.
Yeah, like, you're not going to get the experience. And it's like, and then you just go against the number one ranked player. So it's like, it's hard when that happens. But I think he, like, starts remembering things the more he plays against, Min Min. But yeah, it's tough. Like, the character is insane. And if you let her do what she does, then you kind of just lose. There's no like, oh, like, she might lose this way. No, she just does too much. Like, she does too much and is too safe.
Yep. And I think, too, bring it back to, like, how a couple things lined up for her. It was that last game where he tried Sonic, where it was his plan B when his back was against the wall. It went well enough where it's like, this is the thing I want to think about. They played up to top 8, and then we had a break for Melee. So time to think about it, to practice, to watch the matchup. Wrath was also there helping him. If you notice, his tag was a combination of Hurt and Wrath. So there were a lot of things that really line. Like, I don't know if they went right into a top 8, if things might have been a little different. Like, if we go from, okay, you qualified, now you're playing. It's like, I didn't really warm up. Maybe warmed up the Sonic the night before. I don't know. But yeah, there's it's so interesting how, like, to me, how the format of a tournament can influence things like that too. Cause who knows if you, I know Wrath coached the shit out of him for sure. Like for sure. He's tweeting at him and all this stuff, which is really cool. Like, it really influenced the outcome of not just that match, but the entire tournament, you know, perhaps. So that was really sick. All right. Can we talk about Jazzo for a second? Can we talk about Jazzo and Ken Masters real quick? Come on, man.
That was one of the best moments I've ever seen him have. True. I'm not gonna lie.
Insane, dude. The stare game. Down, bro.
He was in the moment, bro.
Hurt, he was the moment, bro.
I hope looking. Hurt commits to Sonic because obviously the Dormigi thing, but also, like, if you're going to be playing Mia all the time, like, it's proven to work. You might as well just lock it in.
Yeah.
That's why starting at game one made so much sense, because it's like, oh, maybe he's going to go.
That's what I thought he was going to try
all the way into winner's finals, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're in it for the long haul. You might as well start now.
So, which makes me think even more that it was specifically just for Dormigi. You know what I mean? Like, just like, didn't practicing this matchup. That's
yeah. Dude, it's crazy. Dude, we're seeing counter picks for specific play.
It's number one player in the world too, though. So that's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, that. How valuable is that win?
Well, people have counter picks versus Mia too. We saw the Korin come out, right? I mean, I know Dormigi doesn't have the best record versus Mia, but now we're seeing Dormigi try more. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not the first time we've seen the Korin, but Korin came out, right? So
similar to what Marcus said, seeing too, Min Min's such a polarizing character. If your character doesn't do well against Min Min, you're just kind of, I respect people for trying to grind out a bad matchup, but damn, like, sometimes
some of them are just not worth it.
Dude, bad Min Min matchups?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No way. No way. Just not doing
man.
That.
It's like if you lose to Sonic, like, bro, just pack it up, man. Like,
well, unless hold on. Up. What a great switch up here, Marcus.
Oh, here goes.
Oh, hold,
the
here
best
we go.
Upset of the tournament, aside from my Peepnut, who I love. Peep, by the way, I gotta give Peep so many shout outs because I love Peep as a player, like, just such a fan.
One
like,
of the best players in the building every weekend. True.
Dude, for real. And I always like when I get to cast Peep because I go back and watch other sets of him, like, at random regionals and shit. I'm like, bro, he's always cooking. Like, the way he plays, it's just, he's so amazing with a character that I like. So I think most of us like Mega Man in this call. I just like him as a character, but then in Smash, like, the item shit you have to do and, like, the way you play, like, his aerials are very fun. Like, I just think he's cool. And seeing him optimize and play it at the top level is just amazing. So shout out to Peep. But Jazzo's run, bro. I gotta get on start.gg. Hold on. I thought I had it open. I closed it. But the main one I really wanted, the first one before top 8 I really want to talk about is how is that footage of him beating Ken, the Sonic player, out there somewhere? 3-1. I don't know if he went Ken Masters the whole time. I know he's done a lot in that matchup. He's tried Kazuya. I mean, he plays with and train. Again, we're talking about Wrath a lot. Wrath's influence was very felt over this tournament for sure. For real, though. For real. But he plays in Georgia. You got to play against Wrath every week. You better have a plan against Sonic or you're just going to get steamrolled. Like, there are just so many good patient players in that region. And then so many, it's funny too, because there's so many good rushdown players too. You know, obviously, Cola, Uber Boys, basically, like, in that region, right?
The region of extremes.
really are, right? And, you know, four of those fires was Jaso, which is incredible. Top eight for Ken. Truly, as a caster, there's no better blessing or lineup than this person made top eight or made the part of the bracket that I'm going to be casting. And it's a very important match. And I know this shit. Like, I know this shit. That's what we called Gavin and we were preparing. Like, we don't, you can tap out of this one, Gavin. I got Jaso. I got no problem. No problem.
No, don't worry. I can help.
And obviously it's a matchup that Jaso plays. He plays online a lot. Like, you can see how well he dealt with the blocks and like all the different things he did there. He just did everything that was expected. It was just such a good match, man. Like, it was ridiculous. I don't even know what to say. Like, it was, I felt truly blessed that that was like something already feeling good enough that it's top eight of Supernova. Already really happy to be in that position. But then the fact that it's my favorite character and one of my all-time favorite players with your favorite character, you know, that was me on commentary. And it was a tough, tough matchup, obviously. Like, that's just a hard matchup. Usually Ken's thing is like, oh, I could just hit you harder. It's not the case against Steve a lot of the time. Like,
yeah,
I thought it was great. The raw flow set was amazing. Like, in order for things to line up so that Ken makes top eight at a tournament like this, you have to roll the dice and get super lucky in terms of your matchups, or win a really bad matchup, most likely, or get counterpick, most likely, which he did. He overcame that matchup against Ken, against the Sonic Ken. So hard to talk about this because his tag is Ken. Which is annoying, right? But then also, like, tough close matches that could have gone either way, like Ruffalo, who I also am a huge fan of, like that easily
crazy set.
When you play Ken in last hits like that, bro, it's tough. It's really hard, especially against someone like Palu, right? Like, it's stressful. But truly, Jaso, his resilience and his like discipline in tough situations is so good, like. The character hits really hard, and if you guess right a couple times while you're pushing the advantage, it's really good. Like, people still hate this character, hate fighting against him. I know this call like doesn't really care that much overall.
He sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But he's so polarizing because other people are like, I hate him. I hate him so much.
Well, it's not a fun experience. Him. Yeah, a fun experience playing against this character. Yeah, you just get tapped one time. That like, if they read your SDI, you lose. Then you have to worry about the cross up. Sometimes Ken's will reverse the Shoryu at the end too, depending on how close. If you're trying to like SDI in out of the comm when they react to it, and they're like, "All right, let me just like reverse the Shoryu can and maybe catch your cross up." There are so many layers. It does remind me, and has said this a lot, of Smash 4 Bayo combos, where there's multiple layers of SDI. And even though Bayo was bullshit in Smash 4, I do enjoy this part of Smash 4 where you were trying to like fake out, because there would even be times in Bayo combos where you SDI out and then DI in on the last one, but you're giving the Bayo player like visual cues with the SDI itself. So like that whole RPS scenario happens a lot with Ken too. So I think there are interesting parts, but very frustrating to play against because you can just melt. And it's just one of those, because Ryu feels like the more consistent one. I get hit by Ryu, I know exactly what's going to happen to me for the most part. But with Ken, it's like Ken plays the American reset kind of style where it's just like, oh, okay, I don't, my character doesn't cash out here, but if I read the next scenario, you're dead or something like that, right? There's like little mini gambits that happen within there.
And in a way too, before Gavin goes off, that's such a great way as characters to differentiate, like good design to differentiate him and Ryu, because Ken's fast, rush down, like gets crazy offense if he reads you right, and Ryu's like Mr. Consistent, like kind of chilling, throwing fireball, you know, all that good stuff. Go ahead, Gav.
I don't think Ken is really good. I don't think any of the fighting game characters have the highest ceiling, but I do hate all of them very much.
Okay.
And they need to stay down there.
I disagree with them morally. Yeah.
Agreed.
All right. No. Thanks for watching today's episode. I hope everyone has a good day. Sorry, I just needed to say that. I just think they are poorly designed and I morally disagree with them.
What?
Yeah.
Bro, morally, you know, your character's poorly designed. I turn the items off and your character, that's what he does. Wait a minute. He literally breaks the rules.
Hey, you got a cheating character? Wait, I thought we played with no items. Wait a minute.
I can't wait till they take rid of his they get rid of his banana
peel. Yeah, I hate holy water too. Picking that item up is so cringe.
Well, so you know what? I'll give a poly water for, and then Diddy Kong, no banana peel. True. All right, handshake.
It's crazy. You're just gonna nerf each other's characters.
I'll do it. Worth it for me. Shit.
So I can still pick up the peanut.
Wait, this is a big deal.
You guys
deal.
Are freaks because you'll probably find something. That's wild. Yeah, maybe not.
The peanut infinite.
No, just that won't become an item anymore. That won't become an item anymore. You just shoot it like a regular projectile, like a real Smash character.
But a projectile is kind of like an item just moving around.
Yeah, but no. No.
I will say, if we're still talking about Jazzo's set versus Onin. Onin was doing some crazy shit to make the offstage even worse. Like putting the block offstage, then putting the anvil on top of the block. So the Tatsu, it's body blocking Tatsu to ledge, even though Tatsu's like hitting the block, but it's also body blocking like the high Tatsu over the blocks, and then just forward air spike. I was like, damn, that is Steve. I mean, just I think it's crazy seeing even like the boundaries that we know of with Steve, like even just using the anvil offstage on top of a block for unit collision to edge guard is something I didn't really think about. But I mean, when you say it out loud, you're like, holy shit, that sounds broken. And I mean, just a character that is able to spawn platforms like off the stage and stuff like that too. I think we're seeing a lot more Steves utilize that with, you know, block down tilt, block down smash offstage. It's just, it's crazy to see this character become even stronger and stronger than we thought. So, I mean, obviously, like, it's not a, not everyone likes this character, but it's still interesting to see. It's part of the game, right? Even when I think about Meta Knight and Smash 4 Bayo, like, yes, it was extremely lame back then, and it was extremely frustrating to fight against, but it is part of the game. So I feel the same about Steve. I do think Steve is the most volatile of, like, in terms of changing the game, but Steve is still a part of Ultimate, you know what I mean? So it's just, and it's not an impossible character to beat. There are players that farm this character like Spargo. So
there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was still so sick to see, you know, Ken do so well, though. I too don't think very highly of this character. So I think this character, you're playing matchup roulette. And on top of playing matchup roulette, which always happens in Ultimate or just Smash in general, it's like, you still have to nail resets and stuff like that too. And I think Jazzo just played really well in top eight as well. Yeah. Like was able to find those openings and cross up Onin's DI and just get those really clutch KOs. So it was so funny. As do you want to tell what on the mic, since it was like what you did when the cross up DI happened on Shoryu?
Oh yeah. So Charles looked at me cause like Onin absolutely DI'd Shoryu, I think like the worst way you possibly could have, because if you go straight up, like that's really bad. You want to go to the
really
side.
Bad. Like
you die. Literally a meme. When Ken got buffed, there was literally a meme where someone showed everyone how to DI correctly on the control stick, and a Ken player took it and reversed it and reposted it, which was super fucking funny. They're like, here's the right way to do it, actually. It was like straight up, basically, which is very funny. So Onin's DI on Shoryu was really, really, really bad. And Charles looked at me and I was like, we are not saying anything. We're not saying anything.
It's literally like Ken's last chance to benefit.
Jazzo needs everything. Yes, absolutely.
We're so deep into Ultimate that this is Ken's last chance to do this to people.
Which is funny you say that.
Everyone finally knows.
Wow. I'm sure everyone's going to forget again in a month. Like, that's just how it goes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it just, how do you... All right.
How do you DI it? You know how to DI it. I've played against you a lot. Yeah. And you have 3 hits to do it, so you have a lot. Like
it doesn't give out that information for free, by the way. Like, you gotta just figure it out on that.
Not when Jazzo needed it, man. Not when Jazzo needed it. But anyway.
I just think it's so funny that I had the awareness because I knew it was an open mic. So I had the thought in my head and I was gonna call it out, but I looked at Haz first for approval. Like and then because it's funny because I looked at Haz and Haz knew exactly what I was asking and I said no words.
It was right after one of the first short users. Do it. Jazzo needs it.
I even paused because that's what I was gonna say, but I had to think of something else to say. I was like, oh shit, I have to say something else though.
I don't even know if that move's crazy powerful, huh? That's all I know Anand had headphones on too. I don't even know if they could have heard us, but yeah,
you never know. Yeah,
I'm not saying shit. I always feel some sort of way about that anyway, which is interesting. I think we've talked about it before on the podcast, Gavin, but just hearing casters say things.
That shit sucks. Yeah.
What's worse, if it's correct or incorrect? Yikes.
Incorrect, I think.
Incorrect by far.
You would get tilted by that.
Incorrect is rage baiting. Commentators rage baiting.
Yeah, I fall for it every time.
you fall for.
I
you fall for the rage bait, bro. Come on,
dude. It's because I just want to correct them. Like that's my problem. I would just be sitting there like, that is not correct. Like, can someone inform them? Because it can't be me. I'm playing right now.
I don't know why Tweet just went to the ledge versus Fox. That's weird. That happened to me at a tournament.
Are you scared of the move up air that combos into up air after jumping on a platform and leading to another up air?
I disagree.
I disagree. You just stand up. Right.
Cool.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's the weakest, maybe. Yeah, dude, like, shout outs to Mia.
Dude,
there was a point in the bracket where, like, you know how someone is just having like that silent, like, run.
Always look out for those.
Always look out for the silent run. So I was like, wait, Mia's in top eight. Yeah. And then I looked and I was winners. Like, I was like, so is Spargo gonna make it back? Because that's once I looked at top eight, I was like, is Spargo gonna make it back or what?
That's chilling.
Like, if Spargo doesn't make it back, I mean, it's a wrap. Like,
and Aquila's not at this tournament. Mia's like, yo, all right, hold up. Hurt winners finals. Hold everyone. Hold. Who's coming through to grand? Perfect.
Yep. It could have been Dora. It could have been. I mean, we saw what happened with Dora in the end. Like, I was like, there's no one. It needs to be Spargo or the event's over.
So once Mia got in the top eight winners and just looked around and was like, yeah.
It was chilling. And a part of it was he plays a great character or a great combination of characters. If he's going any secondaries, he did not. But that was a good bracket for Mia. And there are, but that's not like diminishing or anything. There are plenty of times people have had good brackets and fumbled. Like, that happens all the time. The Dormigi case is a little different because I think it's now 15-0.
Yeah.
That's Dormigi's bracket demon and has 15 is wild. But so that was a good one. But like you guys said, Hurt, that was a good set. Peepnut, that was a really good set.
Dude, that set, like, it felt like it determined so much of the tournament. Because if Mia went into losers, then we could have seen Mia Spargo.
Yeah.
That set felt so impactful. And it was like game five last stock as well. Like, man, it was really, really fun to watch Peepnut in top eight, man. Like, I've watched Peepnut before. I've commentated Peepnut before. But just like, doing it at top eight of Supernova just hit so different. It felt like the stakes were so much higher, which obviously they were. We got to see Peepnut come into a matchup where I believe the last time they played it was at Kulon, and Mia won 3-0, and it was kind of like Game & Watch hitting Nutrair and Peepnut just getting blendered. And one thing Mega Man likes to do a lot is to up B high and save double jump. It's a luxury that a lot of other characters don't really have, but that's what makes Mega Man so good, is you get to position sky high, then you fall down with down air. There's a lot of threat in down air. It's positive on shield, but Game & Watch does not care. Game & Watch just up airs. So I think Peanut made a lot of great adjustments throughout this set, just like prepping. And that's the fun thing about Peanut. If you're a Mega Man player, you have to do all your homework. You have to have really good game plans because you're playing a toolbox character, right? So just watching Peanut execute it, and even though Peanut wasn't able to get the win, it was still just a really, really fun set to watch, man. It's like so exciting too. Like the stuff that Peanut was going for, I remember there was like some kind of string or sequence over to the right side of the stage, and I was just losing when I was commenting. It was just so cool. Really fun set though.
All right, we gotta talk about the elephant in the room.
Yeah,
I know the comments.
Zane is the goat. Yeah.
I know the comments are gonna be asking.
Yeah.
I did not repeat win the smashy. Okay, we can talk about it, everybody.
We'll
talk about it.
Pause everything.
It's okay.
They don't even matter anymore. Yeah, true.
That's my joke, Marcus. Don't do that to me. All right. The joke is everyone was saying at the event. Everyone said this, that after 2024, the smashies don't, like, they don't matter. You know what I mean? Like, that was the last real year
obviously
to really win a good smashy. That's just what everyone was saying at the event. I don't know. It wasn't me. Jokes aside, what I will say about the smashies is I was very proud of the people who did win the categories that I care about, because they're all throne related. They're all friends and people who deserve them. So shout outs to obviously Blast Zone, Kony, EE, and TK. It's interesting for you too, I'm sure, Marcus, because you've known them forever, but it's like the impact they've had on Smash and the culture is just It's unreal. It's unreal. I really, you know, love and respect those guys so much. And I'm just happy to see them, not just the Smashy, but just like doing well and like winning. And it was just really good vibes and energy being around them all weekend. Devin from House of 3K won a very important Smashy as well. And I'm very, again, someone who's just so important to the culture and someone who's behind the scenes, like probably more in front of the scenes than any other production person in Smash. But y'all don't understand how important Devin and good production is to these events. Like, it's so critical. And then obviously Bam too, who won, which was great because if you don't know, well, no one knows this, but it was kind of a comeback story because Bam was kind of tight because he wasn't on the final block of Throne. He was on the one before it, which is where he had that amazing moment in commentary. So he kind of proved himself in that moment. And I'm really proud of him for doing that because he was tight. He wasn't on the finale, obviously. Who wouldn't be, you know? But he got the best moment of the tournament and he delivered. And that's the whole thing too, is like all those people, all five of them, are related to Throne, and they're all my good friends and all people. And I'm just, you know, obviously really bummed I didn't win the Smash Eagle.
Wow.
Yeah, but,
and the gameplay was at the Throne too. That was Leo Spargo. Yes, that was like a crazy, like Leo doing a million counters and just like destroying Spargo two stocks in a row. Like,
it really felt like
crazy.
All the work we did for Throne and our real fundamental like thesis statement or fundamental concept is if you put people in a room together who care about Smash, we can deliver something really special, really good. Fucking true. And it really just felt like a W. Like, so in a way I did win if we really think about it.
Yes, true.
Not that it mattered. No, well, I'm just kidding. Sad. Thank you. No, but truly, like, I'm really proud of all those guys and I think they're fucking awesome and it was really good vibes all weekend. Obviously Bam wasn't there, but like if he was, it would have been even better, but all good. So that was good. That was good. What's wrong, Marcus?
Nothing, man.
You mixed in, bro.
Nothing, man.
You got just him. When you think I'm gonna act mature and say that, yep, nope. I can't help myself. I have a problem. Oh, and also, bro, I gotta be in that leaderboard for next year. That moment with Jaza was fucking fire. Come on now. That was some good ass commentary.
Are you talking like last stock of first game?
Yeah.
Dude, that combo string was wild. Like, I think I saw the second to last up there. I was like, that's the stock.
Doesn't matter if you don't win, chat. It's all about how you respond. Day zero, I was out there. And again, I do feel very fortunate that it was something that I genuinely care about and something, not that I don't, if it was Rothlo, I would have also been very excited for that match, obviously, but it's just different. It's just different when you know the character. And I paid attention to Jazzo for so long because he plays Ken and I watch him play. And
bro is a Giga fan.
Me? Yeah, I am. Yeah, of course. Vendetta had a good tournament too. Our good friend of the show, Jackal, had a hilarious tweet about Ken. It was weirdly a Ken. What? What's wrong? Yeah, that was a funny tweet.
Very good tweet. Very good tweet.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
But you don't agree? What's wrong?
No, here? I agree.
True. Very funny. So I just thought overall it was a great event. It always delivers. It's just a good time, you know, Gav. It's just so tough. You guys were only there for one day. Like that's the only thing I didn't love is that you and Marcus were only there.
I watched one set on the way back that night that I like missed. Well, I missed like a lot of stuff, but I thought there was one set I needed to watch on the way home. Can anyone guess what it was? Like Saturday set, yeah, on the way home.
Junebug versus not
Melee. Good guess.
No, we were in the crowd for the Junebug set, Moki.
My guess is Light Mia.
No.
Who was it?
It was Peeve and Spargo in winners.
Nice.
Oh yeah. I mean that's
second that biggest upset of the tournament.
His game one was like the best I've ever seen Peepnet play, and he lost. And then he also won the set. So it's just, I don't know. Like, it was crazy. No disrespect to any Mega Man play that has been done over Smash 4 and Ultimate. But what Peepnet's doing recently is just so different and above and beyond anything Mega Man that has ever existed. And I'm not just saying this, like, I'm not exaggerating. I truly believe that, like, this is different and it is like surpassing any possible expectation for the character. And I just think that's the coolest thing in Ultimate currently, for like, for sure. So I definitely had to watch that, because it is very noticeable that not only is Peepnut doing better than usual, he's also beating the hardest possible opponents in some of these sets too. Notably like the fast players like Spargo and Light. Mega Man is historically pretty bad against those type of situations. Even in Smash 4, you know, like Box and even like Falcon could be difficult, like stuff like that. And Peep is genuinely just figuring it out. And not only is he figuring it out, he's always believed too, which is really, really cool. He's always thought it was doable from day one, you know what I mean? Which is really, really cool. So, I mean, he's been the coolest player in the room pretty much every tournament I watch. So,
Active dash attacks are really, really good against Mega Man. If your character's fast and you have an active dash attack, like the fade back single pellet does nothing against that, because as long as your attack is active, you'll just go through and hit Mega Man. So,
yeah,
like these characters, these player matchups Peep is going up against is extremely difficult, and you need a lot of precision. You just need to make a lot of hard reads in a lot of moments too, when they get up close and you're just forced to play RPS with like subpar boxing options, right? And we saw Footstool be a big part of Peeb's gameplay, the Footstool and the Leaf Shield. So just like having to go the extra mile in these scramble situations, because that's all your character's got, is something that's been going on for so long in Smash. But it's just like, can these characters that have to do all these things really survive in a meta where other characters can do very simple things and get a lot for it, right? So I mean, whenever I see any character like Banjo or Mega Man doing well, it's like, dude, come on. I do think Mega Man's better than Banjo, to preface that, but it's still very difficult. Like, these characters have to do very difficult things for very little upfront reward. Like, it's not as simple as like, oh hey, I do this I lab these Steve and Kazuya combos and I just zero to death players. The tech isn't as straightforward. The tech you're learning is like you're just like repositioning, or your punish game just gets tweaked a little bit harder, or you know what I mean? There's just very little minute things. And then you have to snowball those things into things that matter. And you have to play very much so. Like, you have to go through more skill checks than your opponent by far.
Yeah. We've been, this podcast, we've been fans of Peepnut for a while. And it feels like he's really hit the level up since Japan. And it's super cool to see. Like, I feel like he's always, like Gavin said, he's always been maybe the coolest player in the room, but being more consistent, getting better results has been his bag recently. And the thing I love about that is I feel like you see that where someone travels or spends a lot of time playing or studying and they get better, and then they stagnate or they even recede a little bit in their quality of gameplay, right? Like, it drops a little bit. He's been so consistent and so good since he came back, it feels like. I feel like we're always talking about him around that top 32, top 64 type spot, where before maybe he'd get there in losers and then, you know, be out. But now it's like he's really going toe-to-toe with the best players on the planet and doing really, really, like Nia and Spargo, game 5, 1-1, lost the other, whatever. But just doing so well recently, and it's just, like you said, Gav, it's the commitment to a character that it's a combination of what you and Charles said, actually. It's a commitment to a character that is very hard and that you really need to know your shit or you're going to get rocked, especially at a top level when people are playing the matchup correctly. So can't say enough nice things about Peeve, man. Like, just hard work, dedication, et cetera, et cetera. It's all good stuff. Yep. What else? We got the cast Brawl. I love Brawl. It's one of the things I look forward to every year at SmashCon.
You do talk about how much you look forward to it.
Dude, okay, I look forward to it so much that I actually wasn't on Brawl this year. I was like, okay, hold on a second. I know I didn't want to smash you, but I didn't fall that hard. And I was like, why am I not on Brawl? And they're like, oh, obviously, our fault. And they got us back. Shout out to Scabs. They got me back on there real quick. But they had me on Smash 4 instead, which I would have also liked. Brawl's like, I don't know. It's different, man. There's so much to appreciate about that game when, you know, you only get to see it once or twice a year or whatever. So it's just great. It's great. So I love Brawl. Shout outs to Brawl, man. Shout out to Brawl.
Shout outs to Brawl, bro.
Shout outs to Brawl.
Me and Has played some Smash 4.
I'm just kidding.
It was fun.
When you're an old man and you're just like, yo, I'm trying to just like run up shield, you know, I'm just trying to run up shield and chill. Like, that's it. Like, I want to play some nooch. Like,
were you trying to do running tilts?
Only a couple times.
Just run shield.
Only a couple times.
Just shield.
Damn, Charles was ready.
I was shielding.
He wasn't ready for the duck hunt, though. I'll tell you that much.
You weren't ready. I was not ready for the duck hunt.
Short hop there, auto cancel.
Yo, my SDI.
Yes, dude, that's one. Yes, Gavin, you get it, dude. You get it.
I get it. My duck hunt was really good in 4. This game, it's over. Can't do it.
I know. I don't. I wish it translated more. It just kind of doesn't.
I need my down air, bro. Like, not even to hit people, just to have fun and do it.
Between stocks?
Yeah.
I literally did that while Charles and I were playing. Because you have to do it. You have to do it quick. If you don't do it quick enough, it doesn't auto cancel.
Yeah.
True.
I SDI'd out of Bayo up B. Just completely got out. I was like, oh,
with
shit.
With Cloud, too. So you disappeared.
Back in my day, my SDI was good, bro.
Gavin was
legendary SDI.
You had crackhead SDI. I'm concerned for your health.
That was the game.
That's the one thing I kind of didn't like about Smash 4. It's like, it was physically exhausting. And then Luigi players, they'd be mashing. They had to. It was actually physically exhausting for them. And Smash 4 had some interesting stuff. It's still fun.
It was a good game.
Paul Tana's best move was Jab 1.
Jab 1 was really cool. Dude, we're like perfect pivoting. We're doing some stuff.
We were, that's true.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, Unk still got perfect pivots, man. Let's go.
We got it. Shout out to Syrup making top 8, by the way. Cool.
Dude, that Syrup Shuton set was so tragic for Shuton, by the way. Good stuff to Syrup, but like, goddamn.
Doesn't that usually happen?
Had the best start possible. SD'd, never played the game again.
Dude, well, like, yeah, Shuton was just destroying Syrup. But I will say, Syrup took Syrup saw that one SD, and Syrup was like, it's fucking time. Yeah. Syrup did not give the momentum back. Syrup was very greedy with that momentum.
The tone shift was crazy. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, really good stuff. And then it was like Syrup was destroying Shuton so bad. Shuton went Olimar game 5. I was like, this is not the pick, I mean, must have just been getting totally destroyed on the Aegis for that to even happen. So,
yeah. Well,
beating your opponent so bad that they pick a worse matchup. Oh, another thing I want to shout out is all the fans that came out to any of us to say they enjoy Tweak Talks. Supernova is the event that I see that the most. I don't know about you guys, but and one thing I really want to shout out is that I thought was really cool is there was a lot of different people that played different Smash games or different platform fighters that came up to me and said that they really enjoy the podcast, even though they don't really play Ultimate. So even like a Smash 64 player came up to me and said that. So I thought that was really cool. The fact that it's more of just kind of listening to our takes on platform, like general platform fighter stuff or just competitive mentality stuff, which I think is really sick. And I feel like there's a good amount of us, well, actually every single one of us, in terms of just like being in the phase of life where you're following Ultimate or you're following Smash or any platform fighter, but you're not really competing in it or actively trying to like improve in it, but you still want to follow what's happening. So I think a lot of us can share in terms of that similarity. So yeah, it was really cool to see all the fans come up.
One last around the horn, one last shout out, Gavin, Marcus,
at the same time, like
go
shouts to the only person I played Smash with, which was Jackal, because he wanted to warm up with my Ridley.
I saw y'all playing doubles. It's not true.
Yo,
I did play doubles. That's off the Ridley. D and I were farming Charles and Haz in doubles.
Okay, all right, my turn. Shout out to my K rule, True, at Gavin's house. That's all I gotta say.
What happened? Yeah. What?
Maybe I farmed, bro.
Oh, you farmed. Okay.
Marcus, this Marth. Yikes.
My Marth
bro.
Is not it.
Yikes. Yeah,
not
that
it.
That shit was getting. That K rule freed up, bro.
I was getting edge guard at like 2.
Yeah. It's a tough one, Marcus, you're next on the list. K rule, he's coming.
Yeah, shout out to Zane, GOAT.
He's great.
Bro streamed climbing to top 50 with Kirby for 2 weeks and then won Supernova.
Melee was very fun to watch.
Gracious.
It's a good tournament. Really Ginger out of nowhere, all that stuff.
Ginger was extremely fun to watch.
Yep.
There's a lot of good
sets. Came back too. It's random.
Yep.
All the tournaments were good.
There's a lot of good sets. Yeah.
Had a great time at Supernova. Ken Masters, that's it. All right,
Collision's take us out, Gav. Well, that'll probably be the next thing we prepare for to talk about and all that.
Collision?
But I had a solid time. I think it was cool to go Saturday, but still be able to stream top 24 on Sunday. So that was really cool. I took a lot of pictures, signed a lot of stuff. once again, we do have a Patreon. If y'all want to support us and the show, we do bonus content every week. We do a bunch of different kinds of bonus content. If you're interested, patreon.com/weektalks. I also still do coaching in Medify, medify.gg/@tweak. I'm pretty confident in my abilities to help anyone if anyone is interested. What else? Like,
and you also,
you know, I can't do this.
Yeah, you also get member. If you become a YouTube member, you get the Patreon content as well.
Oh, so, we do upload the Patreon content to YouTube for YouTube members.
So it's just more convenient for you to do.
Yeah, whatever option you need. But yeah, thanks so much for supporting the show as always, and we will see you next time.